Welcome to Brewing Success, where growth is the mission, change is the reward, and progress is the goal. I am your host, Andrea Gebhardt. I'm a former educator turned passionate entrepreneur whose desire to create impact has never wavered. I've spent the last decade teaching, mentoring, and coaching people on how to create success in their lives and businesses with proven strategies and systems that not only bring about change, but big results. When it comes down to it, teaching is my specialty, leadership is my jam, and inspiring you to live a bigger, fuller life is what I'm all about. This podcast will give you the knowledge and tools you need to brew success in almost any area of your life. You're going to walk away each week feeling inspired, motivated, and ready to step outside your comfort zone and into the next level of who you're meant to be. Now let's get into today's episode. So last week, I spent some time talking with you about the evolution of the side hustle culture and how it's not only become a mainstream way for people to add an income stream to their lives, but it's really quickly becoming, you know, according to the article that I referenced, something the majority of people are going to participate in the coming years. And so as a professional in the field of network marketing and a well-known expert on the topic, I felt like I really had a responsibility to spend some time talking to you about what to look for and what to avoid when it comes to finding a network marketing company as a way to stabilize and increase your personal economy. And my goal with that episode was to really just be like non-biased and full of helpful information. And not only has that episode been well received, a huge thank you, by the way, to all of you guys who shared it and got it out there, but it's also resulted in my inbox exploding with some questions that made me realize that maybe this topic deserves an additional segment to generally answer some of these questions and address a few more things when it comes to what you need to know and avoid, as well as, you know, how to evaluate, right? A lot of questions around like, how do I know if where I am is where I should be or if I should look for something else? You know, evaluate whether the company you're currently a part of is where you should continue to stay, or you know, look for something else. And I will say that these questions are definitely controversial. There's definitely two sides to every coin. But I'm really just going to give you my personal take, insight, and perspective as somebody who has been, you know, really like neck deep in this field for the last decade. My intent with this episode is solely to inform. You are the one who at the end of the day has to make the decision about what you're going to do. My job is to make sure I authentically and with the utmost integrity give you the insight and perspective that allows you to do just that. So I was surprised, to say the least, by the questions I got in my inbox regarding the industry and leveraging the network marketing model as an additional income stream. And for the sake of all the things, I'm just going to share with you some of the questions I got and really just give you my take on them. And so the first question, it just made me giggle. You know, I'm a big proponent of this industry has a bad rap. And this industry is not like as respected as every other industry out there when it comes to it by way of like making an income, right? And that's because there's been a lot of people in the past who have done a lot of shady things and done a lot of things that didn't represent the industry well. And so it developed a bad reputation over time. And I'm a big proponent of if we want it to become better, we as leaders have to do better, right? We have to adopt that role model leadership mindset, and remember that we have a responsibility to act, behave, think, and show up in a way that always kind of reinforces integrity, honesty, transparency, in this field, in this space, right? It's the only way that we can help it get better is to just be better and set that precedence. And so, you know, when I got this question, it just made me giggle because I was like, oh my gosh, are people still really like slinging this one around? Like it's a free pass. Like it's a thing, like it's the difference maker and who's going to be successful and who's not. And apparently it is. It's still happening. So we're going to talk about that today. So the question was, is ground floor where the real opportunity lies? And I have so many things to say about this. Let me just start with this. In our current economy, And our current state of affairs as a nation, as a country, as society, ground floor for me feels a little too shaky. Okay. I've been a part of a ground floor opportunity before, literally like ground floor from scratch. And it was a constant struggle. Like we literally had to create everything and had zero social proof that anything we were promoting would actually work. Anything that we were teaching would actually pan out. And we just kind of like had to operate on like, well, we'll see how it goes as it goes and hope for the best kind of mindset. And there are really so many factors at play with ground floor opportunities, especially today. You know, the financial stability of the company, the systems that they're using, the quality of the compensation plan, and really so much more. And this day and age, you definitely want to choose a company that has their feet wet. Like you're not in a position where you want to go like experiment and maybe see if it works out. Maybe see if these products are going to get traction. Maybe see if this compensation plan is equal and fair. You want to, like, if you're really looking to leverage network marketing as an income stream, as a way to increase income, create stability for your family, you don't want to go and try and maybe see. You want to go and position yourself with something that's proven. Period. Point blank. End of story. You want to choose a company that has their feet wet with proven systems, documented corporate leadership, really with half their footprint in building a business for people of today, like a viable option for building a business, creating an income today, as well as, you know, the other foot creatively and actively taking steps toward creating a business and products designed for the future. So when it comes to a true, you know, quote unquote income opportunity, you want to position yourself with a company already helping people do that. You know, I kind of think of it like if you've ever, this is probably going to be a terrible analogy, but it's the first thing that popped into my brain. So you're welcome. And I'm sorry. but like, have you ever been in a swimming pool, right? And you are like a swimming pool or a jacuzzi. It probably works better in a jacuzzi, but like you're a kid and you want to create that whirlpool. It's like super fun. So everybody has to be facing the same direction, moving in the same direction, moving around that swimming pool or that jacuzzi in a circle really fast, 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 to the point where you can like the water starts to move without you, right? And you can pick up your feet and the water kind of carries you in a circle and you giggle and you laugh and eventually you have to put your feet down and get the water moving again. But if you weren't involved in that beginning of that process, right, and you were to just go jump in that spa, the water's going to suck you right into that side cycle and it's going to pull you around with all the other people who were there that got it started, that got it moving, that made all those things happen. So you want to be a part of something that's already in motion. Because the likelihood and the probability of your success, like if people are already winning, like that just shows that there's more opportunity for you to win. If the systems are already proven, that's just more proof that the systems are designed to help you win. If, you know what I mean? And so you definitely want that, especially right now. Like I'm not going to go seek out something that's like brand new. We don't know. We don't know if it's going to be here a year or two. I don't have time for that. Right? I got 4 kids going to college in the next 5 years. I don't know why I just said college. Like I'm from the Midwest or East Coast, but they're going to college in the next 5 years. And so I don't want to be in a figure it out mode. I want to be in make it happen mode. And I want to make it happen with something that people are already making it happen with. If that makes sense for you, great, because that's what I need you to understand. So, you know, at the end of the day, you always want to remember this. It's not when you start or get started. Timing does matter, yes, but ground floor doesn't seal the deal for you. Ground floor doesn't mean automatic win, automatic success. In regards to that, the time doesn't matter. It's not about when you get started. It is more about what you do. It's the effort that you put in. That's what's going to generate the success. I've seen many people get started with ground floor business opportunities and it goes nowhere and they have no success. I've seen people join companies that have been around for 10, 15, 20 years and they jump right into systems that are already in motion, things that are already moving, and they have incredible success. You know, that's what I want you to really understand. So yes, I would rather apply the effort it's going to take anyway with something that's already in motion than something where we think it might take off or it might get somewhere. So if someone comes at you with the, you got to get in at the beginning, it's ground floor, this is where it's at, all the things are going to happen, you just got to ask yourself, okay, so what does that mean for the people who want to come on board with me 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Does that mean that the opportunity for them is less? Don't allow ground floor to be the deciding factor. There are so many other things that you need to look at. And if you're not sure what they are, go back to the last episode because I've totally laid it out for you, right? So the opportunity, if it's truly a good one, is going to be just as good on day one as it is on day 10,719. So ground floor is not where the opportunity truly lies, to answer that question. Okay, so this next question, oof, like I feel like this one's like a little testy. I feel like I could rub a couple people wrong a little bit here, but probably only because it's the truth and sometimes the truth hurts. Oh man, I like almost feel bad about jumping into this one only because, guys, I don't want to offend anyone, but like I just want to be transparent. So I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off. So when someone offers you a spot in the downline or in the tree, what exactly does that mean? And should I consider this automatic built for me business? Oof. Friends, let me just tell you that I legit had to pray for the right words on this one because my brain and my heart just get all fired up over this shortcut to success offering. Listen, first of all, when has upsies, frontsies, cutting in line ever been a good thing? Like, it wasn't good at the water fountain during recess when you were in grade school, and it certainly isn't not cool anytime you are waiting in line as an adult. It's not cool at Disneyland when somebody cuts. It's not cool at the hot dog stand at the fair. It's not cool in the line of traffic. It is just not, no. Mm-mm. It's never okay. So basically, if someone offers you a spot or says you got to get in my tree before all these people, and if you do, you're going to have this automatic team and this automatic this and built for you business and all those crazy things, I want you to remember this. Always. When you hear this word, I just hope this thought triggers for you. I hope you can see it visually. Trees are for monkeys and offers like that are for the birds. It is talk like this that literally gives people such a bad taste in their mouth when it comes to this industry. It's why we have a bad reputation. And this is the smoke and mirror stuff that turns people off. You want to know why people got to be shady and all smoke and mirrors like this? Because the smoke prevents them from seeing the truth. And it does the same for you. Regardless, that kind of business model, which is technically called a binary, is literally a death trap. Have people in this model made money? Yes. Have people not made money? Yes. Could I say that respectively of all the models? Yes. Because again, the variable factor in the success of any business is the person who decides to show up and do the work or not. But getting in a tree and getting a spot does not guarantee success. It may look like you have a team, like because you suddenly have all these people and all this volume and all these points, but in that model, you're not paid on any of that until, and you're only paid a small percentage, even after you do a bulk of the work, right? That is just an enticing model. Like, why do you have to leverage me a spot and give me all this false stuff? Like, why isn't the opportunity good enough for me to just start? Why does this have to be the way that we approach the business? Because that's, well, I'm not going to go into that because, because that's where things might get a little bit too dicey, a little too spicy for too many people. But, you know, I would just say that, like, remember, if it sounds too good to be true, then it probably is. You see, when you get that spot or that leg full of all those people and all those volume and all those points, here's what they don't tell you. You got to balance that out. You got to build outside of that, usually bouncing out by some 60% to even make a dollar on all that volume you were given. The likelihood of that happening for most people, the average person, is not likely. The more volume you're given, the more you're going to have to do to balance it out and make the money. That's why I call it a death trap, because the numbers that you see, all those names that you see, all that volume, all those points that you see is an illusion of potential success. And that's what traps you. It's the lure. It's the look at what I potentially have. Look at what I can't leave that. And that's the mentality. I can't leave that. Look at all of this. And you have nothing. Like, you're literally making $0. And why you are making $0 is because even with that, you still have to do the work. And that's where they get you, because you got to build big to access it. And while they benefit from all that you do, chasing that fake money, that air money. This is why I'm not okay with it. It's like, it's not realistic, it's not fair, and it's not an honest approach to starting a business. When you start a brick and mortar business, nobody's like, hey, you're going to open a donut shop. Okay, great. You open that donut shop and I'm going to have hundreds of customers waiting for you to buy those donuts. Like, that doesn't even happen in real life. You have to build your customer base. You have to build your team. You have to build your business. You have to build up your clientele. So I will say this over and over and over, and I really want you to hear this, that when you take shortcuts, you cut yourself short on success. You really, really do. There's no shortcuts. We all know that. That's not how life works. And just like that, we also know that nothing in life is free. And you know this. So why would you fall for a quote unquote free team, free volume, free money? It's not real and it's not a real opportunity. So if you will, tuck this little mantra in your back pocket. If there's talk of getting in a tree, it's not for me. I cannot sit here as somebody who's been in this industry, who's been a part of a binary, who's been a part of a Unilevel. I would never choose a binary business model. I would choose a Unilevel business model for lots of reasons that I can go into. And if you want to know what they are, shoot me a DM or an email. We can get into some conversation about it. That's not necessarily for me. I want to be a part of a business where the normal, everyday, average person has a higher probability of winning and actually creating the success that they set out to create. I don't want to build a business of false promises. I don't want to build a business full of unintegrous advertisements and cliche, inappropriate, like enticements to get people to join. I'm just not here for it. I don't have the time for it. I don't want to waste anybody's time with that. So the next question that I got, and this is such a good one, and I'm so glad we get to talk about it, is I'm a very loyal person, but I want to look for something else. I feel bad. Does this make me a bad person? Does this make me unloyal? Again, I'm so glad this question came up. I don't know where it happened, but how in the world did our perception of loyalty get so twisted? Let me start by saying that loyalty really is a tricky thing because it has more to do with feelings than actions. I've seen so many people stay in businesses because they were loyal to the wrong things. Loyal to the CEO, loyal to the product, loyal to the team, loyal to the leadership. I myself have even been caught in this trap. And let me tell you, I'm the most loyal person when it comes to many things. I mean, I've literally had the same hair person for 25 years, the same lash tech for 9 years, the same cell phone provider since I was like 18 years old, same cell phone number, everything, like loyal, loyal, loyal. I've been an Oreo loyalist for like 38 years and the list goes on. I've even been loyal to a business even when it didn't make sense, which is why I come to you on this topic with such fervent passion, because at the end of the day, the person that you have to be the most loyal to is yourself. You know, loyalty is defined as giving or showing firm and constant support or allegiance to the person or institution. This is where it gets twisted, where people often mistake what loyalty really means, where people get lost in their people-pleasing ways and stay and do things that don't make sense in fear of upsetting the other person, or in fear of what they might think or say. And here's the deal. You would never stay in a relationship that wasn't serving you. You wouldn't stay in a job that was less than what you deserved. You wouldn't continue to eat Chinese food in the same crappy restaurant. You make the changes in search of what is best for you, what suits you, and what will benefit you most in the long run. This is actually probably the most toxic trait that humans carry. They make decisions based on what's best for others, inevitably taking the brunt, right? Instead of making decisions based on what's best for them. And here's what we know, guys, like no one's gonna look out for you like you will. No one's gonna take care of your family like you will. Your loyalty lies with you and your family. And sometimes that brings us to a crossroads of making tough decisions, but we gotta make them. And I always remind you to put yourself in this scenario, right? And for me, this is when I'm in conversations with people about loyalty and really helping them draw the line and create some clarity for themselves, I always have them think about it in terms of their career. So I'm going to tell you to think about it in terms of your career. If another employer came to you offering you more income for the work that you are doing with better benefits and more long-term potential, Would you say no to that opportunity because you're loyal to your current boss? No. Loyal to your current staff? No. Loyal to your current customers? Absolutely not. No way you would take it, because your job in life is to make moves that move you ahead and not continue to sit stagnant on the struggle bus. And, you know, I think about this all the time. And I, for me, I take it back to the days of being in the education system. As a teacher, if a school district came to me and said, hey, we really want to have you teach fifth grade here. We just feel like you'd be a great asset to our site. Like, we just really want to have a really strong fifth grade teacher. And they offered me more money for what I was already doing. They offered me better benefits with what I was already doing. There was more long-term opportunity for me in that district than where I currently was. It would have been peace out, sayonara, I love you guys, but I got to make decisions that are based on moving my family ahead, not make decisions based on like how much I adore my current principal or how much I enjoy teaching with this current staff or how much I enjoy the current students and community that I serve. So if that's the level of like mentality that we operate with in our day-to-day lives, why would that suddenly change when it comes to looking and evaluating network marketing opportunities? If there is a business out there that is going to pay you more for the work that you're currently doing, then you need to take a look at that other opportunity. If there is an opportunity that has many more benefits than what you're currently being offered, then you need to go take a look at that. If that company offers more long-term potential for you than where you currently are, then you need to go take a look at that opportunity. It is that simple. Like, why would you close yourself off and put your blinders on to other things that are out there simply because you love what you're doing and who you're doing it with and all those other things? Your job is to make decisions that move you ahead, not sit stagnant, not making decisions, not winning, not having the success. Like, literally, when I think about it, sometimes for me, you know, I didn't necessarily go and seek out a different company than where I was. My company pulled a plug on us. Everything ended overnight, lost everything overnight. That's kind of how it went. And I was never in a position where I was looking at anything else because I was perfectly happy, loved what we were doing, loved all the things, probably a little overly loyal to the wrong things, just to be honest, as I look back now, a few years later, right? But even today, I can look at just on the customer side of things, like the number of customers that I had in my last business, right, generated X amount of dollars. The same number of customers in my new business is 10 times the amount of dollars. That is what we call a better opportunity. And you, like I said, you want to be smart about what you're doing and how you're moving things forward, right? And what's crazy is like, how do I say this? You would take these opportunities. You would take a look at this, because bottom line, if it's a better opportunity, it's a better opportunity. That doesn't make you disloyal. That doesn't make you a bad person. It actually accentuates your level of loyalty to who and where your loyalty matters most: you, your family, and your future. You, your family, and your future. Those are what your decision should be based on. Not how much you like someone, not how great somebody else is, not anything. You, your family, and your future. Right? Those are the things that you want to take into consideration. And here's a crazy thing. Is that like when I talk about we need to, as network marketing leaders, we have to be better if we want the industry to become better and develop a better reputation over time. And this is an area where I see some like massive need for change. But like, here's the deal. Like, we never bash or unfriend teachers who leave our school sites to move to a better district. We wish them well and we move on. We never give our friends grief because they decided to move states to live a better life. Nope. We send them a cute housewarming gift and plan our first visit. We don't turn our backs on our friends who change professions altogether because they finally found a career path they finally align with. So when you decide to leave where you are because you found something better for you, for your family, remember this. Those who are really for you will be for you. They will celebrate your decision. They're going to wish you well, and the relationship will remain intact. If they really aren't for you, which means they probably never really were, then their true colors are going to be revealed within about 15 minutes of you sharing your decision. And if that's the case, be grateful for it, because you were just able to separate yourself from something that never really had your best interest at heart anyway. So what I say to you when I'm saying that is, when and if you have someone who decides to leave your team or leave your company, wish them well. Wish them well. I remember a few years ago, I had a good friend, somebody I'd worked with. I visited her market. We became really great friends. You know, she decided to leave our team and leave our company in pursuit of something better, something that she aligned with a little bit more. And I remember when she messaged me like, hey, Andrea, here's what I've decided. Da, 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 da. This is where I'm going. And this is what I'm going to go do. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. Like, this is going to be really great and amazing. Sad to see you go because we love you, but I get it. Then I went to go, started a three-way chat message with one of the top leaders in that company who I'm friends with to say, hey, one of my team members quit today and is totally coming over to your business. I don't know if she's in your direct team or not, but either way, here she is. She's amazing. Please take care of her. That's how you handle those situations. That's how you lead at a higher level. And if that hasn't been your course of leadership before, we're going to change that. Hopefully you need to change that. And if that hasn't been what you experienced, you need to take a second look at the culture where you are. Again, revisit that last episode to learn about culture and why that really matters when it comes to your overall success. At the end of the day, guys, you got to do what's best for you, best for your family, best for your future. And if where you are isn't it, you probably feel it and you need to do something about it. That's your intuition pinging you to take a closer look at where your loyalty lies. So one of the other questions I got was, how do I know if where I am is where I should stay? And this is a tough question, but I'm going to do my best to tackle it. But it really does come down to a few key things. And by few, I mean two, right? That you can immediately evaluate your decision based on this. So number one, my question is, if you're trying to decide, should I evaluate something else or should I stay where I am? This is my first question to you. Is your company innovating? Are they evolving the model to match or be ahead of the current consumer and business trends? Are they creating new product categories? Are they enhancing the way in which the seller can automate and optimize their efforts? If the answer is yes to all of these questions, I actually want you to write down how they are doing this, because sometimes it reveals the truth between what is really taking place and what you think is taking place. So, is your company innovating? Are they evolving the model to match or be ahead of current business consumer trends? Are they creating new product categories? Are they enhancing the way in which the seller can automate and optimize their efforts? Okay, so write down how your current company is doing that. And you might find like, gosh, no, we're not innovating. We're not evolving the model. We're still doing things that they've been doing for the last 10 or 15 years. We are not creating new product categories. We're just creating different flavors. We're just creating different scents. We're just creating different variations of it. They're not creating opportunities for us to automate and optimize. Okay, those are things that you want to take a look at. If the answer is no, and they are still doing and selling the same things in the same way that they did 5, 10, 15 years ago, well, then you might want to take a look around. And I'll just say, because of this, businesses these days are either leading the trends or being put out of business by them. They're either leading the trends or being eaten by the trends, which is why you want your business to be matching and evolving at the pace of or ahead of those things. I'm sure we both know what side of that you really want to be on, which is why this question is a great litmus test. Number two, does your company promote, reward, and have a way for you to build and get paid for creating a network of customers? Is there a built-in customer referral program where customers get rewarded to share products and services with others? If the customer side of the business is capped, meaning it's non-scalable income for acquiring customers, I hate to break it to you, but you are missing out. This concept, this model is out there. It's available. And it's what most companies really are missing. And the reason why this is a big deal is because customers are the key to success. And customers who get you more customers is smart business. It's smart business. You know, I will talk about Target a lot, but Target does this. They like us as moms, us as women, like we go to Target, we see something we like, we take a picture of it, we post it on Instagram, or we make something really cute of our house out of something on the dollar section, and we like make it into a reel or a TikTok. What are we doing? We are customers bringing more customers to Target. Therefore, Target is more successful. There are businesses out there. This is why you see a lot of big brands, a lot of big companies moving to these micro influencers, these regular everyday people to promote, market their products. And then they're rewarding them, and then they're rewarding the customers who continue to refer from that point. It is out there, it is available. And again, customers are the key to success, and customers who get you more customers is smart business. So are the customers incentivized to share? You want to know that. Customer acquisition is something most people are already doing, whether they realize it or not, right? We're constantly sharing links to things. We are customers sharing products and or services with other people, and then they are becoming customers of it. I'm sure you could think of 5 or 6 things that you've referred that are not even associated with your business that people have gone on to buy. Like my friend Holly and I were just in conversation the other day. We both have Subarus, not by choice, but just by chance that it kind of worked out that way. And she was talking about how she's had some challenges with hers and how she's so frustrated because like 5 people she knows went out and bought Subarus after she bought hers. I hope I don't get in trouble for mentoring. I shouldn't. Right? Like after she bought hers because she loved it so much. Customers getting customers. That is smart business. And people are doing this kind of stuff every single day, whether they realize it or not. So in this day and age and in these times, a business model that rewards the activities that most people are already engaging in is a business model you want to build. Recruitment heavy models and recruitment heavy comp plans are a thing of the past. Instead, show me how to get paid heavily on customer acquisition and how I can monetize a network of customers. I could get into more here, but I think these two things are the two primary things that should be considered when evaluating if you should stay or if you should go. This is the direction companies should be going. And if they aren't, they're on the fast track to falling behind. And the last one, this one's really great and I love it. And I love that we're getting to talk about it, but how do I avoid being that girl? Or how do I avoid being the girl who is doing one of those things or another thing? I say, be that girl. Be that girl. Be that girl. Oh my gosh, are you for reals right now? Like, come on, get over it. What do you mean? Be that girl. Be the girl who went against the grain to provide more options for her family. Be the girl who broke the generational employee mindset. Be the girl who chose not to settle, nor to have her time and worth dictated by somebody else. Be the girl through hard work and determination taught her kids more than anything else that she did. The fruits of that. Be that girl. Those who have big words to say on this topic are walking around with small minds, small thinking, and living beneath their potential. Remember that the words people speak are often a reflection of their own limitations. This is why you're never going to hear someone more successful than you downplay or minimize your goals and your dreams. They're always going to speak life into them. Also, can we just stop right here and say that, as is the case with many things in life, you're going to just have to try many to find the right one. You're going to have to kiss a lot of frogs to finally find your prince. And thank goodness my frog kissing days are over. You're going to have to try on a bunch of different jeans to find the right fit, many different sushi restaurants to find your fave, many different babysitters to find the ones that the kids love the most. We never find what we like or what fits us until we try and learn what we like. It's very rare that we find it on the first try. And when I think about it, I'm in my 4th network marketing company. I learned a lot in the first 2, I earned nothing, earned $0. Like it was like volunteer status, but I learned a lot. had some incredible success in the 3rd, and now I'm building the business of my dreams, right? And if these are your concerns, we need to adjust your sales, sister. That's all I'm going to say, because you are far too concerned with what others think and are going to say. And if their words pay your bills and feed your babies and are contributing to your dreams, well, then be it. But if they aren't, if their words are not paying your bills, feeding your babies, or contributing to your dreams, then we're going to turn down the volume on those people and turn up the voice inside of you that is leading you to that next decision that will inevitably change your life. Be that girl. Do that thing. Do another thing. It is okay, right? Like, I think about when you're in college, there's so many people who change majors so many multiple times. I can't believe you're changing your major again. Like, oh my gosh, you're one of those people? No, I'm somebody who in my life was trying to figure it out. I can't believe you're dating somebody new. What? Like, you have to. I can't even imagine. Like, my son, he's 16. I hope he has a lot of girlfriends so he can figure out, one, how to be a good boyfriend. Two, he can figure out, like, and find the right person. So many times, like, just because it's the, oh my, I can't even get into the dating advice, like, with my kid. It's going to get too hot and emotional over here. But, like, seriously, why is it that we, like, then come to this industry and think, like, it's going to be different? No, you have to figure out what you like. You have to learn about what works and what doesn't work. Like, that's how you grow. That's how you evolve. That's how you become your best. And that's how you find the right fit. And that's how you get into a place and position where you can build the best business to move your family forward. The bottom line is this: the industry has, guys, this industry has the ability to impact your life and the lives of the people around you in some major ways. And we know that it is rapidly becoming the way for the average person to increase their personal economy and create stability for their families. When are you going to get off the sidelines of your life and into the arena? When are you going to stop second guessing yourself and questioning your capabilities? Nothing changes if nothing changes. Again, the purpose of today's episode was to address some of the additional questions and concerns, provide clear insight and perspective when it comes to starting or growing your own business. And I hope this episode was helpful for you and gave you the clarity you needed to make the choice that is best for you. If you still have questions, of course, or want to chat some more, shoot me a DM or send me an email and we can absolutely have some conversations around the topic. But what I really want to do is just say thank you for being here and tuning into Brewing Success, you guys, where growth is a mission, change is a reward, and progress is the goal.